We're going to get started tonight in Proverbs, the 31st chapter. Proverbs chapter 31 is where we will begin. It's good to see all of you out this evening. It is so good to be with you all. I hope that it has been a good year. It's been a year since we have last seen each other. I really appreciate you all inviting me back to be a part of this, I guess, at this point, I guess it's still a fall series. Winter, is it winter yet? It is winter, so I would assume it has transitioned into a winter series. And so I appreciate you all for asking me to come back to participate in this series. I have seen the list of topics, and I have seen the list of speakers, and I'm certain that you all have had a very fruitful and edifying study thus far. When I reviewed the material that Brother Joe Gordon gave me, the finger of God, I was somewhat shocked by the title because I wasn't really sure what it meant. And to be honest, when I looked at my sermon topic, the way to spiritual satisfaction, I asked myself, well, what does this have to do with the Holy Spirit? Because I realized the entire series has been on the Holy Spirit. And so when I thought about my own personal life and I thought about the moments in my life where I felt most satisfied, I realized the moments in my life when I do feel most satisfied spiritually are those moments when I am consistently reading the Word of God. And when I'm consistently spending time with God in prayer. And as you and I well know, the Holy Spirit reveals the mind of God to us through His Word. And when we follow the Word of God, and when we are walking in step with our Savior, we can find a tremendous amount of spiritual satisfaction. And so tonight, as we consider that topic, I want to consider the wisdom that King Lemuel's mother reveals to us here in Proverbs chapter 31, because I believe the words that she shared with her son many, many years ago can help us today gain a sense of spiritual satisfaction. And so again, if you have your Bibles this evening, we are going to get started in Proverbs chapter 31. King Lemuel likely lived in luxury as he sat on his high and exalted throne. He ruled over princes, he ruled over priests, he ruled over peasants, he ruled over hundreds and thousands of people, exuding a tremendous amount of power and authority to anyone who got in his way. He laughed at those who sought to destroy him. He scoffed at things that would pollute his mind. And King Lemuel was a man who had a heart. Every single day, he made it his goal, his aim, his aspiration to look past the flesh and straight into the heart of man. You see, even though he was king, even though he had this robe on his back, even though he sat on a throne, even though he held a golden scepter, even though this crown rested on his head, he never allowed it to get to his head. You see, even though this crown rested on his head, King Lemuel was a man who never ever forgot the words that his dear mother said. And so tonight, as we consider the topic of spiritual satisfaction, as we consider this scene in the life of King Lemuel, and as we consider Proverbs chapter 31, the question that we ask ourselves is, what did the king's mother say? In Proverbs chapter 31, starting verse number 1, the Bible says, "The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows?" Here in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 1 and 2, we see that King Lemuel's mother is asking her son, "What are you doing? What are you doing? What in the world are you doing?" She asks him this on three different occasions. And she's not asking him this question on three different occasions because he is unable to hear her. She is not asking her son this question on three different occasions because he does not understand her. Here in Proverbs chapter 31, King Lemuel's mother is asking her son, "What in the world are you doing?" because she is trying to get his attention. Here in this passage, we have a passionate plea. We have a passionate plea of a mother who is so overwhelmed by the thought of her son falling prey to some form of sin that she asks him on three different occasions, "What in the world are you doing?" Proverbs 31 and verse number 2. "What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows?" Verse 3. "Do not give your strength to women and your ways to those who destroy kings." Son, you are king. You rule over this entire nation. You have a tremendous amount of power. You have a tremendous amount of prominence. You have a tremendous amount of prosperity. You have all of this at your fingertips. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't allow a woman's appeal. Don't allow your desire for her. Don't allow your attraction for her. Don't allow your desire to be in a relationship with her cause you to turn away from the Lord. Son, it is important, it is essential, and it is vital that as king, you remember to control your body. It is incredibly important. As you rule over this nation, as you sit on this throne, as you hold this golden scepter, while this crown is resting on your head, you must always remember to control your body. As the king's mother spoke to him, perhaps his heart and his mind was drawn to the man Samson. Samson in Judges chapters 13 through 16, who allowed a woman. He allowed a woman to cause him to fall away from the Lord. Samson was a man who did not know how to control his body. He told Delilah where his strength came from. And when he told her this in the end of Samson's life, he ends up blind, bald, and bound because he did not know how to control his body. Here in Proverbs chapter 31, as his mother spoke to him, perhaps the man, King Lemuel's mind was drawn to the man Samson, and perhaps his heart and his mind was drawn to the young man in Proverbs chapter 7 who lacked sense. That young man who was passing near the streets of the adulterous woman's house. That young man who was seduced by her presence. He was intoxicated by her smell. He was led into her home. And the text says, suddenly, as an ox goes to the slaughter or as a stag is caught fast, an arrow pierces his liver. And he had absolutely no idea that this wicked, this evil, this sinful, adulterous woman would take away his life. Do not give, King Lemuel's mother says. Do not give your strength to women and your ways to those who destroy kings. In Proverbs chapter 7, Solomon would say, I lost my flow. Proverbs chapter 7, starting in verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Solomon would say, and now, O sons, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim she has laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. All her slain are a mighty people, the text says. They are powerful people. They are a people of great importance. They are people who have a whole lot of influence. They are rulers. They are kings. But if you do not know how to control your body, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. The question that we are asking ourselves this evening is, what did she say? What did King Lemuel's mother say? What was the wisdom that she revealed to him so that he could have a life of spiritual satisfaction? Here in Proverbs chapter 31, we see that the first ounce of wisdom that the king's mother shared with her son was, son, it's vitally important that you learn how to control your body. But not only that, as we further consider the text reveals that King Lemuel's mother encouraged her son to always remember to control his mind. Could you advance the slide, please? Control your body and control your mind. Proverbs chapter 31, starting in verse number 2. The text says, advance it again, please. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women and your ways to those who destroy kings. Verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings. She's repeating herself once more. It is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink. Kings, people of power, people of great importance, people who have a nation to rule, people who have laws to protect, do not drink wine or strong drink. Why? Why is it so important that you as king remember to control your mind? Because if you don't control your mind, you may forget. Verse 5, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all of the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Wine and strong drink is not for rulers. Wine and strong drink is not for people who are sitting on a throne. Wine and strong drink is not for kings. Wine and strong drink are for those who are perishing. It is for those who are in bitter distress. It's so important. It's vitally important that you learn how to control your mind. The prophet Hosea would say in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 11, that sexual immorality, wine and new wine, take away understanding. As a king, it's important that you have wisdom. As a king, it's important that you have knowledge. It's important that you have discretion. It's important that you have judgment. But you can't have wisdom, knowledge, discretion, and judgment if you are filling your heart and your mind with intoxicants. The question that we are considering this evening is, what did she say? What were the words of King Lemuel's mother? How did she encourage her son, who was the king, to live a life of spiritual satisfaction? She told her son that it's important that you learn how to control your body. She told her son that it's important that you learn how to control your mind. And she also told her son that it's important that you learn how to soften your heart. In Proverbs chapter 31, starting verse number 8, King Lemuel's mother continues to say, "Son, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. I know that you are ruler. I know that you are king. I know that you're sitting on this throne. I know that you have this robe on your back. I know you're holding this golden scepter. I know you have a crown resting on your head. But son, don't let it get to your head. Don't be so high and holy and arrogant. Don't be so puffed up. Don't be so proud that you forget about the people that you have been called to serve. Don't be so proud. Don't be so arrogant. Don't be so high and holy that you not only forget about the people that you are called to serve, but that you forget about the God who has put you in this position. When you remember the God who has put you in this position, you will remember the people. You'll remember to speak up for the one who isn't heard. You'll remember to stand up for the one who has been knocked down. You'll remember to clothe the one who has no clothes. You'll remember to feed the one who has no food. You'll remember to help the helpless as king. If you remember your God, if you soften your heart, you will remember how a child of God will live as he rules over this nation. To control one's body, to control one's mind, and to soften one's heart is the way to spiritual satisfaction. But not only that, not only did King Lemuel's mother encourage her son to control his body, to control his mind, and to soften his heart, but here in Proverbs chapter 31, we see that King Lemuel's mother encouraged her son to see her soul. In Proverbs chapter 31, starting verse number 10, she continues to say, "An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She opens her mouth to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates." It is so incredibly fascinating that as King Lemuel's mother describes the virtuous woman, as she describes the type of woman that would help her son as he ruled over this kingdom, as she described the perfect wife, King Lemuel's mother says nothing to her son about this woman's hair.
She says nothing to her son about this woman's nails. She says nothing to her son about this woman's perfume. She says certainly nothing about how this woman's face looks. She says very little about the type of clothes that this woman wears. It's very interesting that most of what King Lemuel's mother says about the virtuous woman, the godly woman, deals with her soul. As her son was ruling over this nation, as he sat on his throne, and while this crown rested on his head, he remembered the words that his dear mother said. He remembered that his mother told him, "Son, it's vitally important that you find a woman who is known in the community. It's important that you find a woman who is respected by the people in the community. It's essential that you find someone who is willing to serve those in the community. It's essential that you find a woman who has the potential, to love her children, to serve her children. It's essential that you find a woman who has the potential for her children to love her. A woman who has the potential to love you and to serve you and to help you. It's essential that you find such a woman. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. This is the type of person that you must find." As he sat on his throne, as he held his golden scepter, as he ruled over this nation, as that golden crown rested on his head, he never allowed it to get to his head. He always remembered the words that his dear mother said. "Son, if you want to find spiritual satisfaction, then you must be someone who is able to control his body. You must be someone who is able to control his mind. You must be someone who is willing to soften his heart. And you must be someone who is willing to look past the flesh. Look past the flesh and straight into the heart of man." Today is December the 28th, 2022. And like kings, we are an incredibly blessed people. I'm confident that none of us here are sitting on a throne. None of us are wearing a robe. None of us have a golden crown on our heads. And it's probably likely that none of us will ever sit on a throne and wear a golden crown in this life. But if we have been washed by the blood of Jesus, and if we call ourselves sons and daughters of God, we are spiritual priests. We are a part of an eternal heavenly kingdom. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the Apostle Peter is writing to Christians who are suffering all over the world. And he encourages these Christians by reminding them of who they are. He tells them that they are a royal priesthood. They are a chosen race. They are a people who have been called out of darkness into the Lord's marvelous light. They are a people who once were not a people, but now they are God's people. God's incredibly blessed people. And as people who have been blessed with so much, much is required of us. If we want to find spiritual satisfaction, if we want to make the most of this life under the sun, then we must remember the words that the Lord has revealed through the mouth of King Lemuel's mother. Just as King Lemuel's mother encouraged her son to control his body, it's important that we learn how to control our bodies.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is writing to a group of Christians who were unable to control their bodies. They had succumbed to sexual immorality. They said, Paul, the Lord gave me these passions. He gave me these desires. And just as he gave me the desire to eat food and I eat the food to satisfy my fleshly desire to eat, I'm going to engage in sexual activity, even if it's outside of the context of marriage, to satisfy my sexual desires. And Paul says this is not the way that children of God must live. Children of God must learn how to control their bodies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse number 12, Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. Body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee, verse 18, from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Learn how to control your body. As a child of God, we must have self-control. Christians, people who are a part of this spiritual priesthood, people who are a part of this eternal kingdom, do not engage in sexual activity outside of the context of a marriage. They do not look at pornography. They do not commit adultery. They do not shack up with their boyfriends or their girlfriends. Christians learn how to control their bodies. When we learn how to control our bodies, we will have a sense of spiritual satisfaction because we are walking in step with the Savior. But not only that, not only must we learn how to control our bodies as children of God, as King Lemuel's mother said, we must learn how to control our minds. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the Apostle Peter is writing to a group of Christians who were living in a world that was heavily influenced by sin. He was writing to a group of Christians who were being overwhelmed by temptation. And what he says to them is clear. If you want to make it out alive in such a world, then you must be on the alert. You must be watchful. You must be sober-minded. Because your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour you. Satan has a mission to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if you want to be ready, then you must be sober-minded. Think about this. If someone told you that this very night they would break into your home, they would rob you of all of your possessions, they would kill your children and kill your wife, would you spend the entire day getting drunk? Of course not. You would be on the alert. You would be ready. You would be prepared. You would be sober-minded so that you could prevent such from happening. And so, why is it? Why is it that there are so many Christians who know for a fact that our adversary, the devil, is prowling around this world like a roaring lion. And he wants to rob you of all of your spiritual blessings. He wants to corrupt your children. He wants to corrupt your wife. And he has a desire to destroy you. We know that for a fact. But unfortunately, there are so many Christians. There are so many Christians who fill their hearts and their minds with intoxicants. I preached this sermon, and I might get in trouble for saying this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I preached this sermon probably a year ago, And after I preached the sermon, someone said to me, "Tim, you said King Lemuel's mother told the king not to be drunk with wine or to corrupt his heart with strong drink. Well, the Bible, it don't say anything about drinking. It just says don't get drunk. And so it's okay for a Christian to drink." And I'm thinking, well, the Bible doesn't say specifically don't have a drink. It doesn't. There's nowhere in Scripture where it says don't have a drink. All that we see in Scripture, it says don't get drunk. Okay? However, it is not wise. It is not wise to take that first drink. As people who have been blessed with so much, as people who have so much potential in this life, as people who are the example of Jesus in this world, why would we? Why would we take that first drink to possibly become drunk? To possibly throw away all that God has blessed us with? It is not wise. It is not wise. And in my opinion, nor is it godly. It is not wise, nor is it godly. As we see in Proverbs chapter 31, King Lemuel's mother says, it is not for kings. It is not for kings. She says it twice because she's trying to get his attention. Regular common people, they can drink wine and strong drink. But it is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink. When you drink wine and when you take strong drink, you will forget. You lose your mind. You no longer have control of your mind. You no longer have judgment. You no longer have discretion. And we don't even know what drunkenness is in the eyes of God. Is drunkenness one drink? Is it two drinks? Is it three drinks? We don't know. And so we are safe to stay away from it. We are safe to stay far away from it. As children of God, we must control our minds. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. You all have been talking about the fruit of the Spirit this year. Galatians chapter 5, verses 21 through 22. Be someone who is lovely, joyous, peaceful, patient, kind, good, gentle, and have self-control. Those who are walking in step with the Savior, those who are striving for spiritual satisfaction, will control their bodies, they will control their minds, and they will soften their hearts. They're going to be people who look out into this world and see those who are hurting. They're going to look out into this world and see those who are helpless. They're going to stand up for the one who has been knocked down. They're going to speak up for the one who is not heard. They're going to feed the one who is hungry. They're going to clothe the one who is naked. They're going to help the one who is sick. They're going to soften their hearts. Can you advance the slide? In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus speaks of the two greatest commandments. You should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you should love your neighbor as yourself. If you truly love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself, then you're going to make sure that your neighbor is taken care of. You make sure that you have food every day. You make sure that you have clothes to wear. And most importantly, you who, as a child of God, have made sure that you know the Word of God and have obeyed the Word of God. If you have that much love for yourself, then make sure that your brother or sister in Christ is clothed. Make sure that your brother or sister in Christ is fed. And make sure that the man or the woman out in this world who doesn't know the Lord learns about the Lord. But it's not only important that we help those who are in Christ, we have been called to help those who are in this world. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, do good to all men. Paul continues to say, especially those of the household of faith, but we still have a responsibility to do good to all men. And James would tell us, if we see our brother or our sister out in this world who doesn't have clothes or he doesn't have food in his mouth, and we say, oh, bless your heart, be warmed and filled, but we don't give him the things that are necessary to clothe him and to feed him, what good is that? In 1 John chapter 3, John would say, if we see someone in this world who is lacking this world's goods, but we don't help that person. Is the love of God truly in our heart? It's one thing to know about the problems that are going on in this world. It's one thing to be concerned about the problems that are going on in this world and concerned about people who have very little, but it's another thing to actually get up and do something about it. And all of us must soften our hearts and do something about it. What is good? The prophet asked in Micah chapter 6. Doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly before God. That is the attitude and the mindset that we should have. When we have that attitude and we have that mindset, we're going to be spiritually satisfied. Control our bodies, control our minds, soften our hearts, and fourth and finally, see her soul. In Proverbs chapter 31, King Lemuel's mother encouraged her son to look past the flesh and into the heart. Don't marry someone solely based off of how they look. Marry someone based off of how their heart looks. This could be applied in so many different ways. Obviously, it applies to the marriage relationship, but it also applies to how we deal with people throughout our day-to-day lives. It is very important that we not merely associate with people who look just like us. It's important that we not merely communicate with people who talk just like us. It's important that we not merely spend our time with people who live on the same side of the tracks as us. And it's important that we not only teach people the gospel who come from the same socioeconomic background as we do. Because God has made this world in an incredibly diverse way. There are people in this world who don't look just like me. There are people in this world who don't talk just like me. There are people in this world who have different experiences than I. There are people in this world who have lived in different places than I. There are people in this world who have more money than me and less money than me. There are people in this world who have more education than I and less education than I. But we shouldn't look at all of these worldly things when it comes to building relationships with people and ultimately with sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with this world. There should be no barriers. Absolutely none. When we look past the flesh, and when we look into the heart of man, we will find this spiritual satisfaction. The question that we're asking ourselves this evening is, what in the world did King Lemuel's mother tell her son? What was so important for her son to know as he sat on his throne? Why in the world did the Lord preserve these words? What did she say? She told her son that as someone who has a whole lot of potential, as someone who has been blessed with so much, as someone who has all of this power and prosperity, as someone who has all of this influence on other people, it's important that you remember who you are. It's important that you learn how to control your body. Have self-control. It's important that you learn how to control your mind. Don't pollute it. It's important that you soften your heart and that you care about other people. It's important that you see her soul. Do this and you will be blessed. Do this and your kingdom will thrive. Do this and you will see the Lord. Do this and you will find satisfaction. If there is anything that was said tonight that you don't agree with, I would love to talk to you about it. Joe has my email address and my telephone number. Feel free to contact me. But everything that I said, in my opinion, was straight from the Word of God. And so if you're here tonight and you are not a child of God, you are not a Christian,
And this is the perfect opportunity to become one. You do so by hearing the word of God, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting and turning away from your sins, having your sins washed away in baptism, rising forth, walking, living every single day in newness of life. If you've done this before, but you've made mistakes, you haven't been walking in newness of life, you haven't been serving the Lord like you should, you haven't been walking in step with the Savior, then this is the perfect opportunity to make things right. If you have any spiritual need that we can help you with this evening, please come to the front while we stand and sing the song of invitation.